Are you a sports fan who didn't know the NFL draft was this week? Then boy, do I have the teaser trailer for you. I'm Danny Heifetz, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show every week with Danny Kelly, Ben Solak, and Craig Horlbeck. We're doing mock drafts before the draft. We're grading picks after the draft. Now, do we know which picks were good and who's going to go where? No, absolutely not. We can't predict the future, but people like hearing about it. Yeah, don't you? You sickos. So we talk about it anyway. So come listen to the Ringer NFL Draft Show, and guess what? If you like the draft, but you don't like me, you can go listen to the Ringer NFL Show with Kevin Clark and Nora Princiotti and our other NFL experts. Or you can go to nfldraft.theringer.com to check out our massive draft guide. So come listen to the Ringer NFL Draft Show and the Ringer NFL Show on Spotify, because they employ me, or it's also available on all the other platforms that don't employ me.
Sweat. You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Prestige TV podcast. My name is Bill Simmons here with Chris Ryan, Wozni Lambury. We broke down Winning Time where we decided we also want to talk about We Own This City, which premiered on HBO Max on Monday. It is the spiritual, it's either nephew or cousin to The Wire. It's a, and it
at the
feels
very
a
least,
little
the
wiry.
First cousin. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got five or six people that were on The Wire, and a couple, including a couple.
Shout out to Poot.
Big ones. Yeah.
Love him.
It's only six episodes. It's set within the last 5 years. You know, The Wire ended in 2006 range. And I got to say, guys, nice to be in this little Simon Pelicanos world again. It just is.
Oh, so good. So, Bill, like, I'm watching this, and I think I'm like 10 minutes in. And I was like, damn, I think I need to text Chris about getting me these screeners. Mm-hmm. Like 10 minutes in to this pilot episode, it's like that feeling of being back in this world. I don't know how to describe it. It's more than just like riding a bike again. I'm just like, all right, we're back. We're back in this atmosphere. We're back in
this
culture.
It's just nice to see the streets again.
Oh, it's so freaking good, man. So good.
And then they throw Bernthal in it on top of it.
Yeah,
Chris,
and Bernthal,
as if we weren't going to like this anyway.
Bernthal walking around the ring, showing off the belts. Like, that's what he's doing in that first speech. So they, like, this is the thing I love about this show is even though it's like, I'm like fucking on Google looking up like different counties in Maryland to try and figure out who's got jurisdiction over what, like an idiot. Like, you know, like it's already, I'm just like gone on this. But the thing about this, We Own This City, that I kind of like is like visually and like chronologically, little bit of swagger. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as like straightforward as Show Me a Hero, as Generation Kill, as Deuce. And I mean, Deuce had some time jumps, but like The Wire was like straight naturalist. Like every single episode was just like this next chapter of the story. We're already crisscrossing across three different timelines with this show. And that like whole opening scene where it's like the Bernthal speech, but the director is cutting to like all these different shots to kind of contrast with what he's talking about.
So
fucking good. God damn.
And tapping into some recent stuff in a really, like that Josh Charles scene when he pulls over the car.
What a fucking scumbag he plays.
Or Bernthal just using his baton and breaking the guy's bottle as he walks by him just to, for no other reason other than to intimidate. Like,
establish dominance.
Subtle stuff that is just really smart. A ton of good actors.
Oh my God. Carolina's back.
I did a tweet about this today. Josh Charles going all the way back to Dead Poets Society, but feel like he's been in our lives for 30 years. Carolina, who you guys started Club Carolina. I applied. You quickly moved me in. Bernthal. We got Marlo and Landsman and O-Dog and Poot. And then Andrea Zuckerman is running an organized crime drug enforcement task force. Just if I wasn't it enough from 90210. Great to see her. And she must be friends with David Simon or something. But it does feel a little wiry. I got to say, it does.
Yeah. I mean, it's also going back closer to like, you know, when Bernthal's cop starts is what year is that? 05 when he starts? Or is it? So it's going back towards that era. And, you know, I just feel like there's nobody who does the intricacies and complications of police work like these two guys. Like, is it didactic sometimes? Yes. Are there scenes where people are talking about societal ills in very explicit ways just to make sure you get the point? Yes. But does anybody ever show how fucking hard and complicated and strange and weird police work is like these guys know? There's just the one of one.
So it's like this thing where basically like what our modern conversation about policing lacks is like people can't thread the needle of like these communities need policing very badly. However, there's a certain type of policing that comes with some of this stuff when you talk about austerity and different things that just, you know, provides a fucked up product. Right. And The Wire and Now We Own This City get into the ins and outs of that. And my favorite part about it, and you guys are going to laugh because I related to The Ultimatum, a reality show I just watched on Netflix, which is the most insane shit I've ever seen in my life. But bear with me, folks. Like with every single thing that happens on The Ultimatum, there's a corresponding song where literally not just the instruments make you know how you're supposed to feel, like the music itself. The lyrics are like, now it's over. And you like after somebody broke up, right? Like where literally you're being told how to feel about every single thing that happens. Whereas like in The Wire and We Own the City, there's no music. There's no soaring like stuff happening. It's just like you watch the scene and you're left to figure out what you're supposed to think about what just happened. That's what I love the most about this. It's like, we're not demonizing the police. We're not valorizing them. We're not, figure it out. I love that about this show.
The scene that I thought was incredible to that point was when the second time Herschel makes an arrest in this episode. And he's like, oh, he touched me. And he bangs on that guy. And his partner, his black cop partner is just like, I switched the call from a wagon to an ambulance because I'm not getting like prosecuted over this. Like you like, and it wasn't like, because we have to have a conversation, not that you shouldn't, but it's not like, it was like, we have to have a conversation about the racial implications of what you just did. He was like, I'm not doing paperwork for you. You know, like I'm not getting caught for you. And so it's just like a much more like kind of nuanced and in some ways depressing depiction of it.
They do such a good job introducing all of these characters over the course of an hour. And you actually have a sense of who's who, who's on what side. They're recognizable people. They're all kinds of, you know, super diverse. They're different sizes. And for whatever reason, you can watch this in an hour and you're juggling 20 people in your head and they're all fully formed. Like we've talked about, like in Winning Time, it felt like Winning Time took 4 to 5 episodes for some of the characters to kind of ease into the character, which I think is pretty standard for TV shows. They always talk about that with Mad Men, like Mad Men or The Sopranos. Episode 5, 6 is when the actors really settle in and then good shit starts happening. Simon just, his shows just don't, they're just always fully formed. So there was that. And then the thing, the decision that they made in this that I thought was really interesting was just not to have comedy at all. To not have the two cops in the car arguing about donuts or any of the stuff that Carver and Herc used to do on that show or, you know, some of the comic relief McNulty being
the
hammered
hilarious
stuff. That stuff's out. The Wire was like, Van always used to talk about this on Way Down the Hole. Like, The Wire was like stealth, one of the funniest shows of all time.
Yeah.
In just, you know, little bursts. This show has no interest in being entertaining. This show has a mission. It wants to accomplish the mission and it's doing it. It's
great. I don't know if we're going to get like the McNulty bunk fuck scene, you know, like while they're looking over a crime scene. Like, this show feels like it's doing a lot more like, it's got like somewhere it's trying to go much faster than that. But I did find like, just like the little details, like when that dude is like, Big Wayne, like when they find all the guns, like I just was like, God damn it. How do you guys get this stuff.
They're doing the all the pieces fit part of The Wire, though. Because, like, in the scene where, you know, the dirty cop dude, the black dude with the fro, is like, how the fuck did you guys get on?
Yeah, Mamadou. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're basically like, bro, like, we're not, it's not that we're that clever, but it's like all of these chain of events had to happen. And they're piecing that together with one of the first things being the two trackers on the car. Whereas, like, they assume, well, you know, it's funny. The white cop homie with Poot's partner doesn't assume that it's another legit police investigation.
No.
They're just like, another cop had to put this on here. And they understand that the department is dirty. He understands that the departments are dirty enough that it didn't have to be for police reasons. It could have been for non-police reasons. So he just is like, yo, we'll just throw it in here and see what happens.
And see if anybody comes to get it.
Yeah. I just love the way this whole thing, like, again, the subtleties that Chris talks about, where the only reason the dude even asked for the tracker bag, he's like, yo, those are expensive.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I got to fill out paperwork. Yeah.
We're a poor police department. Like, man, it just, they're nailing it. Even in the pilot, they're nailing so many things.
Chris, it sounds like Waz, this is a two-part question, Waz. It sounds like you like your dirty cop content.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say, is that a yes?
Of course.
Sounds like Waz. It sounds like we might have a third for the internal affairs.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Richard Gere and Andy Garcia.
I've wow, seen so that movie.
Let me send you an invite.
Please put me on. I watched that movie.
That's the standard for dirty cop movies.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Bernthal for a second?
Well, he's channeling Gere in internal affairs, right? He's doing the 2017 version of it.
He's channeling fucking Daniel Day-Lewis. Like, this guy is. He's like, the scene at the end where he's like, do you know who I am? Like at the end of the episode, yeah. And then Landsman comes in and he's like so pissed at him for looking him in the eye, because it's like, he's like, I'm not sorry. And he goes back out. He's like, this fucking guy. Like,
right, this guy.
Oh my God. Like, Bernthal is just like such a physical actor. Like, the way they walk up on that raid early in the episode and he puts the gun behind his back and he's just like swaying back and forth as he's walking. It's like, how did you already got this dude's walk down? You know, it's
the
so
above
good.
The law dirty cop who has lost all sense of reality of where the rule book is and is running the streets and just feels like he's never going to get caught. I'm always in when that's the character.
Also, what I think is interesting, man, a lot of people don't understand this, but like, Bernthal is from DC. And if you know anything about the area, like DC and Baltimore are like 30 minutes or 30 miles apart, but they're basically two planets apart.
Yeah.
As far as like culture and not only just their self-perception, but like how they perceive each other. But he's nailing this Baltimore shit somehow. Yeah. Like he it feels like the Baltimore of it all is in his freaking bones, which I think is really impressive. Because if you ever talk to like DC people, they'd be like, yo, man, like Baltimore is just, it's different. It's different. There's no relation there. But Bernthal being from that area and just understanding Baltimore that deeply is almost to the level of Marky Mark in The Departed.
That's a good analogy.
They drafted the local kid. Yeah.
Let's talk about the timelines, because that's probably the biggest flaw with the show for me. I might just be old and dumb.
I watched it twice. I mean, I will say it
was one of those things. The second time, some stuff made more sense to me. I had a hard time. You're basically following it through the Bernthal haircuts. And that, I guess, is how that's the roadmap for us. But I thought it was
weird because
high attention show.
They do one cutaway where it's like, this is Bel Air, Maryland. This is 2 years earlier, like 2015. So now you're like, okay, 17 is when he's giving the speech and doing the gun task force raids. Then 2 years earlier is when they start to get onto the gun task force with the tracker. And then there's also the scenes from earlier when like Bernthal's first on the streets. So like, They kind of there are signals, but you basically do have to follow Bernthal's facial hair.
And you have to pay. This is not a, I'm going to scroll through my iPhone.
No, because you got to watch
this
those
is,
little.
You have to fucking watch the show.
The forms that they're filling out.
Like so when is Bernthal breaking that guy's 40 ounce?
I think that's when he was first on the beat.
Okay, that's when he established himself as a prick cop.
Yeah, yeah. Which is also a nice throwback to The Wire and the brown bag speech. You know, like...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is a callback. You let a guy with a brown bag, that's him showing at least a little level of deference to the police and what they're doing. And Bernthal's like, no, fuck that. Fuck the brown bag. I'm going after this dude.
Would you timeline it or color correction it at all when we go backwards to at least help us a little bit?
I think it would be helpful. I mean, I think it's a lot, especially given the amount of TV that's on right now, like to ask people to be like going back through episodes of TV. I thought, like, I read a couple of useful recaps. I was like, okay, this happens. Then this happens. Yeah. Then this happens. But it's unclear. Like, I think the part that we didn't even mention is Wami Masaku's character, the civil rights attorney for the Justice Department, who's investigating the Baltimore Police Department. She's a helpful like guide through step by step what's happening, because she obviously gets put onto Herschel.
Yeah.
But is that happening in... That's happening in 15.
I'd say that's where I get lost.
Okay.
And that's why you could even throw a little timeline on the left or give me a little color correction so I have a better sense of where we are. And I think it's a little bit of an unforced error, but I also think Simon could give two shits. He's like, this is my thing. You're either smart enough to follow along, and if you can't catch up, see you later. I don't care. This is how we're doing it, and you'll catch up, which is fine. Are we okay with how they're using Carolina? I know she's very important to all of us. I thought it was a little muted by her in episode one, but I feel like there's some lurking stuff with
Waz, her. Do you want to make the official out. Club Carolina statement on this matter?
Yeah, what you guys decide.
Okay, so I think they're doing a good job of the subtleties between how a lady DA would dress or investigator would dress as opposed to somebody who works at some corporation. Then is a PR person or whatever. Like, she's just way dressed down, stripped down. But I think she's still giving her Carolina, like...
She's biding her time.
She's got... She knows she can hold this guy's attention. Let's just put it like that.
All right.
Because, like, he was like, oh, you slick, you got me. She's like, eh. I got you.
Right.
I think everybody's going to have like more stuff to do as we go on. I mean, this FBI investigation seems like, based on the trailer, like the crux of this entire thing. So
I wonder how hardcore do you think? Oh, have you watched more than one episode? Because
I'm pacing
myself.
I'm
a man
out.
Of the people. I like
I watched
to watch
the first
them one,
and I was like, this is like my Super Bowl. Like, I need to like really savor this. I'm not going to like watch five and then forget what happens.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if they start doing the people having dinner scenes and stuff like that, or if this is just a straight shoot procedural, all we care about is how we're going to get from point A to point B to point C.
But even in doing that, it's like the other county cop that they go Fitzpatrick or whatever, and he's like, yeah, tell him it's about my bar tab. Like, all these little details about that, like, that's such a perfect fucking Irish cop who's like just like grinding away. Like, it's just so, it's so good.
Waz, here's my question for you. Why only six episodes? Why not 24? Why not 30? Why do we have to leave this world? I don't understand.
You know why? Because I think David Simon is trying to tell an essential story about policing in America, and he wants it to be as real as possible.
And it's adapted from
Simon. It is as real as possible.
Yeah, and it's adapted from Justin Fenton's book. Yeah.
He doesn't want a winning time this thing. That's why it's not... He thinks it's too important to winning time it.
I get it.
Add embellishments and do all of that. That's clearly why, because this shit, I could be here forever. Forever. Yeah,
if it wasn't based on real source material, I wonder, A, how long the show would have been on, and B, do you start pulling back real Wire characters?
But then you can't turn Marlo into a cop.
Yeah, you can't have
that. But you'd have to toss that aside. I'm saying, like, if it really was an actual successor, you could have gone back into that world, which made me think, like, all right, if they're rebooting The Wire, what's the reaction from general public? Maybe this is the thing that leads to that. What does The Wire look like in 2025?
I don't think David Simon will ever do that, man.
I don't think so. And I don't know. And how interested with
They said
guys,
that about Macho and Karate Kid. Guess what happened?
And I wonder how much these guys, the actors themselves, especially people who aren't like Snoop or, you know, some of the people that they just plucked from Baltimore would be in coming back and redoing these same exact characters. I think you know how freaking actors are. I'm a creative. I like new challenges and all this other dumb shit.
Well, they also killed off most
unless
of
it's
the
a
people
Marvel
on the
movie,
show.
Of course.
Or they're all in jail,
challenges.
Yeah. I guess, you know, the good thing about The Wire, and I think out of every great show we've ever had, I think it's the most rewatchable. Even more than The Sopranos. Like, The Sopranos, especially from the first couple years, it does feel a little early 2000s-ish in some ways. Like, it does feel that The Wire is just like, you're just entering this universe, and it doesn't matter what year
I will
it
say
is,
that I've already, like, since I rewatched We Own the City, like, once, and it's like, I'm like, this has, like, a lot. You can chew on a lot here. Like, if you go back, it's not boring.
I'll say this about The Sopranos, Bill, as somebody who is now a transplanted person in L.A. Like, it makes me homesick for, like, you know, indigenous whites of New York. that's why I kind of like The Sopranos more. Like, it reminds me of being home. It really does. Like, that's why I like going back to the show, because, like, people don't talk like that and have that sense of humor and, like, behave that way out in Los Angeles, for better and for worse, to be quite honest. I'm going to text you guys. I'm going to text you guys video from a fight at the Nets game and, like, bridge and tunnel New York City people.
Oh, my God.
I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And it's like, this is the New York that, like, these fancy schmancy artsy-fartsy people don't want you to know about. Like, this is actually New York. It's not just the Met or the MoMA. It's this, for sure.
Chris, do you think We Own the City is going to catch on? What's the destiny of this show? It's on Monday nights on HBO Max. They chose not to make this a Sunday HBO show. I think that's smart if they're trying to build up the service. But at the same time, it's an HBO Max show. And, you know, I think if it was Sunday night, 9 o'clock, I think it would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, pairing this with Winning Time, having like a block on Sunday would be cool. I honestly, man, like if I could answer that question, I would be so rich right now. If I could tell you like why this thing is catching on, but this thing is kind of falling on deaf ears. There's so much television on right now.
Well, there's too much TV on. That's why I think this show will, you know, there's going to be podcasts like this one. There's going to be pieces being written.
In a perfect world, I would have preferred this to like one of Barry, Saul, and this to come out at like not the same time.
Well, how about July? Yeah. Like, how about not during round one of the NBA playoffs?
Right.
We didn't need more content right now. So yeah, it would have been like, July 10th would have been amazing, but I get it. They're trying to keep the service going. So you've only seen one, Chris?
I've only watched one. Yeah.
Waz, how many have you watched?
I've only watched one. I ain't get my screeners yet. Don't worry. I'm going to talk to Chris Ryan.
Go one at a time. Go one at a time.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. One at a time. But I'm going to
watch
it.
So what are our predictions? Because I haven't researched. I actually don't know what's going to happen.
Well,
we know some of the real life stuff that happened.
I know, I read like somebody did a really long magazine profile on the dude that they ended up killing in the car accident or whatever.
Yeah, the dirty cops lose is what actually happens. I wonder how they're going to handle that.
By a random fuck up. By like they pulled over somebody, got in a car chase, made the motherfucker crash. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be dope. Just put it like that.
Yeah, I guess my advice, because I've tried not to read too much about the real life stuff because I want to watch it. And then after I'm done with the 6 episodes, I'm going to dive into the real life stuff. But other people, they just want to know.
Yeah.
See, with this and Girl from Plainview, like I read one magazine profile however long ago, and that was it. And so I could watch those. Yeah. Elizabeth Holmes shit, I read too much.
You knew too much.
Watched too many things on cable news. I'm just like, I can't. I can't do it. I can't. So with this.
But the ultimatum, it's just, you know, nothing.
The ultimatum.
You're keeping you on your toes the entire time.
Phil, I've never really been a reality TV person, but that show broke my brain in ways that like, whew. Incredible.
My wife and daughter also into it as well. All right. We recommend We Own the City.
And you know
any
what?
Last
the
words,
important
Chris?
Thing is that we've found a third for Dirty Cop Palooza.
Please, I need that. I need that because
Bill, Dirty Cop July.
Don't tease me, Chris.
Richard Gere in that movie is like Ja Morant in the fourth quarter last night. Like,
it's his greatest performance. Some people would point to like Pretty Woman or American Gigolo. It's like clearly Internal Affairs. That's the greatest he's ever been.
Menacing, brooding Richard Gere. I'm like, who is this dude?
I love what William Baldwin's wife calls him. Or William Baldwin calls his wife, and she's kind of like, she seems a little distressed, and it's because she's riding Richard Gere in their bedroom.
Save it for the pod.
Save it for the pod.
You're doing the show before the show, Bill.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to. All right, Prestige TV Podcast produced by Jesse Lopez. Thanks to him. And who knows? Maybe we'll see you next week with more We Own This City. I know Van Lathan, the show is on his radar. We might have to do a four-legger, a four-person, four-hoster. So we'll see you then.